All right, in the book of Colossians, we left off in the 13th chapter last week. Thank God that in the first chapter, first chapter, 13th verse. Sorry about that. I'm getting ahead of myself. You keep reading, you want some more chapters in there, huh? Okay. Not going to scare you. Mine only has the four here, so. But it's first chapter in the 13th verse. And Lord willing, again, last week, those 10th, 11th, and 12th verse, just so wondrous. I'd like to just begin reading from the 9th verse. This is his wonderful sevenfold prayer of Paul. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," and I hope we would have this kind of love in our heart to be praying for people. Lord, just put that on my heart again and again as you hear me being encouraged, myself and you as well, to be praying for God's people everywhere. Especially those of like faith. I appreciate the prayers for Brother Smith and Brother Hawkins. We're privileged no matter just to have the Word of God. This meeting that we have, I feel very privileged because the many people that we do have. Not that your strength is in numbers by any means. You understand that. But it's wonderful the fellowship that we have in this meeting, and continue to pray for those that have that same fellowship in their meetings as well, too. But know how blessed we are. But it says again, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will." See, we can be filled with it. Hallelujah. "In all wisdom and spiritual understanding." See, everybody's searching all these different understanding and knowledges anymore, just like you young people going to college. It's a wonderful thing. I was in college for many years. I appreciate the degrees the Lord allowed me to get. But at the same time, man's wisdom is foolishness to God. Now, that doesn't mean you don't go to college, because if he's given you that door to go through, then go through it. It's a wonderful thing. But use it to his glory. Have a testimony to his glory. Let him put you in the place that he wants you to be by the grace of God. And that's a mighty place. But know it's the wisdom to get, and the understanding is spiritual. Hallelujah. But it says to be in his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That ye might. This isn't a must. This isn't something he's going to force you to do. But what a privilege that we can take this place. That we might walk worthy of the Lord. Unto all pleasing. I hope you just see all these different adjectives that he puts in here. And adverbs and different things. My kids could tell you better about the English language. And the different adverbs and adjectives. But I appreciate it. It's always exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Look what the Lord's telling you. Think about how he's saying this. And if you really understand the Greek and the Hebrew, it's even far more expressive. But I'll tell you, English gets it done pretty good here. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that really brings it home. Hallelujah. Okay. But it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Again, as Christians, so many times we get caught up into the patience and the long-suffering, and we just get focused on that. And it's a wonderful place to be if you have the joyfulness with it. You've seen the long-faced ones. I've been there. I think some of you have. Be the ones with joy. That's the victory. The joy of the Lord is your strength. By the grace of God, no matter what we're going through, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's coming. His coming is nigh. Your life's but a vapor. His coming is nigh for you. You understand that? I hope you do. Praise God. "Now giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And I appreciate the Lord encouraging me again. The word partakers, again, is that joint heirship as man and wife. That's the inheritance he wants us to have. The saints in light, as we were able to bring out last week in Revelation 21. What a privilege to not just be a saint, but again, a faithful brethren. Not to just be a saint, but by the grace of God, to be a saint with her light. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we're hoped to attain to by the grace of God, to increase our life with that understanding, with that knowledge in him, which is the love of God. Let that increase. You got to have that kind of love to love him back with to be his bride. It's the love. That's the love of God. That's the knowledge of this wonderful word truly is his love. Praise him. All right, we'll pick it up in the 13th verse. Lord willing, I'll just go ahead and read through the 19th, and we'll try to get through these verses this evening. who hath delivered us. Listen to this. I want my son to listen to this. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. He's before you, let me tell you, and he's behind you as well, too. Don't think that that armor just works one way. It's everywhere on you. And by him, all things consist. He gets it done. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now going back here to the 13th verse. We'll begin there. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Darkness has a power, folks. And don't think it doesn't. How's that? It has a power. But it's a power that is given from God. Do you understand that? It's allowed. It's an allowed power. Nothing has power if God doesn't give it to him. So remember, that devil, that darkness is on that chain. Hallelujah. Know who's in control of the situation. And hath translated us. This is his children, into the kingdom of his dear Son. And praise God that we've been delivered from this darkness. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Do you realize that? Again, we were born into that iniquity. It took Jesus Christ and his death, his resurrection, and again, by his grace, our belief in that, to immediately transfer us from darkness into his wonderful light. And that's by the grace of God where we live, is in that light as we yield to him. Now we're children of the King. Hallelujah. But again, I was just thinking, as I walk into that office, sometimes I forget to turn the light on. And that's not a fun thing because I'm not really familiar with everything in that office. Now my knees sometimes are when it's in the dark because I found a few things that are right there. But see, I don't want to get accustomed to that darkness. I want to be in light. I don't have to stumble and bumble through life. But we as Christians, when we get into darkness, when we're going to live that dark life, that's what we're going to do. You're going to stumble and you're going to bumble around. By the grace of God, I want to know where I'm going. By the grace of God, I want to see the things that are before me. By the grace of God, I want to have a vision. And that vision is Jesus Christ. And the ultimate vision by the grace of God is to win him. That's when we have light in everything. That gives my trials light. Do you understand that? See, when we are in darkness, when we're not following the things of God, and yet the Lord allows a trial in our life, we'll just see it as something dark. We'll see it as something negative. We'll see it as something that is just so terrible to be in. But by the grace of God, when we realize that it's for our good, that's when light can even be shed on a trial. And I can rejoice and have joyfulness in long suffering. You see how the Lord brings all that together? And I appreciate Jesus Christ shining light on every bit of my life, knowing that he is for me and who could be against me. Knowing that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. What a precious promise that we have, and what wonderful love that he has given us. Praise God. But again, it's by grace that we have this light, and by grace I just pray that we would live like it. But again, why do Christians often walk in darkness? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. That's 1 John chapter 1, and we'll read verses 5 through 7. Why do Christians sometimes walk in darkness? This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is what? Is no darkness at all. Now, a lot of times we sit there and we say, well, I just don't see this thing. Faith sees everything. You know why faith sees everything? Because faith sees the truth. Faith knows that God is for me. Faith knows that he's going to perfect that which concerns me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what you're in, do you believe this life that you're in, he's going to perfect every single thing in it that concerns you? If you'll let him. Now remember, this is letting and allowing. This is different. This isn't doing. Christ Jesus wants you to let, allow, Be who you are. Remember we had that study about be who you are? Appreciate my dad always saying that to me. Son, be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Well, Jesus Christ is trying to encourage every one of His children, be who you are. You're the new creation. You stand perfect. Do you understand that? You are worthy. Now, by the grace of God, take that on. Let this new creation grow in us and walk worthy. All spiritual understanding. He'll be it to us. Praise God. He will keep us out of darkness because in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Because why? Because we do not the truth. Look at that. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So when we walk in darkness, it's very simple. We choose, don't we? You choose it. Nobody talked you into it. Nobody forced you into it. You chose it. I want to make sure we understand that. You've chosen that. And why? Because you don't do the truth. The truth isn't working in us. I appreciate how the Lord has brought again the parable of the sower. We have a field. By the grace of God, He is putting that seed on everybody's field. Now what are you going to do with it? You're going to allow it to soak in? You're going to be a pliable piece of ground, something that has broken up the fallow ground. There's no more hardness there, letting that seed come in to your life. And I was thinking, He doesn't just put the seed, He waters it, doesn't He? He feeds it, doesn't He? And by the grace of God, He's getting ready to harvest it. That's what your wonderful Jesus is. He's given us every single thing that we need. He's given us every tool. He's given us everything so that He can harvest the good fruit in our life. Praise God. And He's going to harvest it someday. And He's harvesting, by the grace of God, a goodly pearl out there. And by His grace, that's what I hope to attain to. That lovely pearl. Praise His name. But see, we choose not to do the truth. And when we choose not to align ourselves with the Word of God, with the light, then we're going to be in darkness if we don't choose that. You understand? And I'll tell you, the light is so much better than to dwell in darkness. Go over here and read verse 3 with me in this first chapter of 1 John. It says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." See, that fellowship is with Jesus. He's there, hallelujah, all the time. But when we choose to live in the hand of the enemy, when we truly choose to sin, we do not have fellowship in that sin with the Father and with Jesus Christ. It doesn't work. You can't have fellowship with God and mammon at the same time. We've been talking about that many times over the past few weeks in Sunday mornings. You got to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. That creation's there. That spirit is willing in your life. Yes, I understand that the flesh is weak, but I need to feed the spirit man. And by the grace of God, what are we putting into our field? What are we allowing our field to be introduced into it? Now, this isn't living, like I say, self-righteousness, goody-two-shoes, all of those types of things. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the love of God. I'm talking about putting in the pure, the true, the good report, the lovely things in your life. Not putting in all of this worldly corruption. A little leaven's going to leaven the whole lump, brothers and sisters. It comes in little by little, and eventually that camel's in your tent. You know what I'm talking about. It just happens. You know why? Because our flesh is weak. We think that we can go ahead and again live these dual lives and different things like that. It doesn't work. By the grace of God, if we want His best, if you want to be in this beautiful, perfect peace with Christ, I'm talking about that wonderful peace, we need to let that love, let that truth soak in and live that fellowship and harmony with Jesus Christ. It's such a precious walk. I believe the Lord is encouraging many of us to come that way. But you see, the light is Christ. More magnificent than the sun, and it'll shine through us as we yield. But we must yield. Again, it's a choice by the grace of God. Now, the next part of that verse, if we go back over here to Colossians again, the next part of 13 says, "And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Again, so encouraging. Right away, He says, look, you're in the light. Praise God. Now, I'll tell you what, remember your citizenship is in heaven. Now, that helps me to walk in light. My citizen's not of this world. See, and again, that divides us so much in this world. Again, you think of Christians. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. Think of what it does in our country again. And people say, well, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm Democrat, I'm Republican, I'm all these different things. Now, I'm not saying that everybody needs to be the same thing, but the problem is we let that divide us. You understand what I'm talking about? We'll even allow different things, whether it's the color of our skin, how we talk, our different education levels and all that, to cause hatred between us. Your citizenship's in heaven. Get rid of everything else. Know who you are. Right now, you're a son of God. The Lord really dealt with me about that so many years ago, thinking, well, I'm this and I have that. And son, you're mine. I gave you everything. And you're a son of God. What more could you want to be? What more could you want to be? Now grow up. And sometimes I have to say, Jesse, just shut up and grow up, huh? Amen, huh? Amen. But we're the sons of God right now. We're seated together with Him in the heavens. And that's in light and that's the fellowship, hallelujah, that is real and that we can live. But see, in darkness and worldly deception, we live as many times Brother Hill used to give us that image of that prince. You know, there he had that beautiful crown on his head and he was just wallowing around in the pig mire. Don't want to be there. Hold fast that wonderful crown that he's given us. Hallelujah. That no one take thy crown. Turn over to Romans 12:2 with me, if you would. Romans 12:2. Love this scripture here. We'll actually read from the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I pray for you, I'm encouraging you, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. I wonder where we heard this last week. Unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable how much He loves you, what He's done for you, to present ourselves holy and acceptable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Gives you the answer right here. Doesn't just leave, don't be conformed and leaves you there. He's going to give you truth. Isn't that wonderful? He's giving you the grace. Now He's going to give you the direction. He's going to give you instruction. Be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And really, it truly is enough said. You've been seated together with Him. And now, by the grace of God, live your inheritance. How do you live your inheritance? Be transformed. Be transformed. Let the mind of Christ be in us. By the grace of God, meditate on those things. Live those things. The lovely, the true. We make choices all throughout the day. It's His grace. Don't get me wrong. This isn't something I'm getting at. Hope you understand. Do. But again, you're going to choose. You're going to say, Lord, I'm going with you. By the grace of God, give me the strength. Give me the faith to believe you, that you can keep me from those things. I appreciate so many people in this meeting that have been delivered from different things, whether it's drugs or alcohol or all of that. As great a testimony is the ones that have grown up in this meeting and have never had a problem with drugs or alcohol or things like that. Do you understand? It's still God. And God can keep you from it. And He wants you to choose Him this day. He wants you to choose Him this moment. And the devil's going to come at you every moment of the day, brothers and sisters. He's going to throw things in front of you. He's going to let you think in your mind and justify that what you're doing is right. If it doesn't align itself with the Word of God, it's not right. If it's of hatred, if it's of malice, if it's of jealousy, those types of things, that's not right. I don't care if the principle behind you that the world says, well, that's right. Is it what the Word of God wants you to do? Love, forgive, and forget. Can you imagine that? Love, forgive, and forget. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. Hallelujah. Encouraging all the way. All right, let's go to verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Wonderful, wonderful. We are reminded again, we are never too wicked. It never was our work to begin with, was it? We're His workmanship. Praise God. Thank God that He's in control of this thing. It was His blood shed freely for the joy that was set before Him. So wondrous again the image that He gives you in His heart, that He saw you and you, each one of us personally, as He was on that cross. Do you believe that He did that? I believe He did. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He saw every single one of us as He hung there. And He died for you. Yes, He died for man, absolutely. But He died for me. He saw me. He knew me before ages past, that by His grace, I'd have a heart that would love Him, that we would come together here tonight and be rejoicing in the wondrous love of Jesus Christ. I just thrill that He counted us worthy. But we are justified, just as if we've never sinned. As far as the east is from the west, it's been forgotten. Turn over to Hebrews 10:19. I just wanted to remind us of this verse that we studied over in that wonderful chapter. Hebrews 10:19. Again, without the blood, we have nothing. But again, look at this, what this blood does for us. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I'm talking, we got in all the way. The Holy of Holies. Every single bit, the most intimate relationship we'll ever have with Jesus Christ. It's all by the blood. It's all by His grace. It was freely given. And by the grace of God, we're going to read and rejoice tonight how we complete Him in what He did for us. Praise Him. Hallelujah. All right. Verses 15 and 16. Who is the image of the invisible God? Oh, hallelujah. The image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. So let me tell you something. Things just don't pop up from other things. He created them all. How much clearer does it have to be? Jesus Christ created it all. Thank you, God. Okay, notice first again in this wonderful 15th verse, is. I love that word. It's present tense. He is now. Not was, not might be, anything like that. He is. God was and still is completely manifested in His Son. It is in His Son. Everything is in His Son. Let's go over here and read John 14:9. That's John 14:9. And it says there, Jesus said unto them, have I been so long time with you? These guys had seen Him for a long time here. And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how say you, show us the Father? Now think about this old world. Do you think He's saying that to this old world? How long's He been here? And everybody still tries to approach God without Jesus. Not going to happen. Can't get there without Him. And if you see Him, you see the Father. Isn't that precious? That's the promise that He's given us. Seeing Him, you see the Father. Very God of very God. Jesus is God. God the Son. Three in one. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:3. Turn over there. Let's go back over to Hebrews 1:3. It says there, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, everything, when He had by Himself, so you know who we're talking about, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's your Jesus. That's your Jesus. That is your personal, wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. The express image of His person. Man cannot have God without Christ Jesus. Amen. Man can't have God without Jesus. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? No man's going to get there without the way, the truth, and the life. And that's our wonderful Lord and Savior. Man can't even see God. They can't even see God without looking at Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? They can't see Him. You think, again, people go through life, well, I'm talking to God, I'm seeing God, I'm out here. I've had many friends, I talk to the birds in the morning, and that's God talking to me. No, that's not God talking to you. You may, if you'll allow Him, you'll see Him in creation. But it's in His Son. All things were created by Him. He is everything. By Him, all things consist, hold together every single thing. Man cannot know God. Think about all these shows you see. Let's see what God is. Where did God begin? How did God happen? Why did God do this? You can't know God without knowing Jesus Christ. Because that is the plan. Hallelujah. Again, what does it mean here by firstborn? Firstborn of all creation? Simply that all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made. That's John 1:3. Again, all things were by Him, and without Him was nothing made. How many times over and over in the Word of God does He have to again remind us, I am. I am. I love it. I love reading that story. Here they come to get Him. Who do you say you are? I am. And all they could do is sit down and bow. He had to get Him up to crucify Him. He had to give up the ghost. He had to allow Himself to die because they couldn't kill Him. That's power, folks. That's the power that we have. It's in us. Let's access it. Praise God. Let's access. And the very power is the faith that He can give us to live that life that will grow up pleasing to Him. Praise God. Don't be defeated by the devil. Don't let him fool you. We can become mature, complete, full sons of God. I believe it. I believe He's working amongst us. And I believe by His grace He's going to present us holy and acceptable. And it is His grace that's going to do that. Hallelujah. But it says here in the 16th, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Jesus gave birth and conceived and made all things visible and invisible in this universe. Everything, everything. Now you get these smart alecks out there, you start talking like this, and they'll say, well, did he make the devil? Huh? That too, yes he did. Yes he did. God had a plan. Devil was a big part of that plan. I hope you get that. Praise God. He was a big part, because he's a big helper. Whether he knows it, whether he wants to deny it, he's a big helper. Because he's helping me get ready, he's helping me get stronger, he's tempting me. He's causing me more and more every day to rely upon the strength of the wonderful Son of God. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. He's teaching me that. It's a hard thing to learn sometimes. He'll take a lot of things that were very strong around you, and you'll realize that that didn't give me strength. Now, He can use things around me, especially Christians, that are in the faith, to give me strength. See, people say, oh, you give me strength. You don't give me strength. I don't give you strength. Christ in me does. Christ in you does. That's what I can have confidence in. Not in man, but I can have confidence in the new creation in you. Because I know by the grace of God, if you'll yield to that, you'll do the right thing. You don't have to think about doing the right thing. If you have the mind of Christ, it'll happen. Let's not make it hard. Yielding. Yielding. Praise God. Praise God. It's simplicity that's in Him. See? Christ puts up whom He will. He puts down whom He will. I was thinking how bent out of shape we get about who's leading the country, huh? What do you think? He's leading. You may not think He's leading. You may say, well, boy, George Bush, what a simpleton. You may think Bill Clinton, oh, what a cad. Hillary Clinton, I better not say anything more. Who knows? But you know one thing? I know God's going to put up whom He will and down whom He will. And I know He's got a plan. I know it's all in His hand. And by the grace of God, I see that He's about ready to wrap it up. And all I want to do by the grace of God is increase my faith. I want to live joy. I want to live that life that's going to be all pleasing to Him. Thank you, Jesus. But again, He's got the plan. Verse 17. Let's go ahead and read that. And He's before all things. And by Him all things consist. See, He's before all things. He's the Creator. He knows every thought, intent of my heart and of every heart. Of every heart. Now think about this. He knows everything. Good and bad. God's got the man. God's got the woman for the job. Do you know that? Now remember, this is the wonderful, merciful God that gave His Son that all men would be saved. But But are all men saved? No, they're not. That's His will, but again, it just shows you that we have a choice to be in the will of God. It's very true. We have a choice to be in the will of God and by His grace. So again, rest in His authority. Rest in His headship that He truly is for us. Now verses 18 and 19, and we'll close out. And He is the head of the body. He's the head of the church. Who's the beginning? Firstborn from the dead. That in all things He might have the preeminence. All things. That includes your home. Huh? What do you think? Your family? Marriage? Work? All things. Give Him preeminence. I appreciate how that the Lord again was bringing that out to me. Son, I want to be first. I want to be your first love. I don't want any questions in every single aspect of your life. Every single aspect. Preeminence. For it pleased the Father. Oh, it pleased the Father. That in Him should all the fullness dwell. See, this begins, hallelujah, Paul's telling us of Christ's humanity. Christ became a man. Praise God. Praise God. And how wonderful that He is our head. And we, as part of the church, are part of His body. And the church, hallelujah, are all the believers that ever will be. From the very beginning to when He wraps this thing up and there's not going to be any more time. All of those believers are part of the wonderful body, no matter if you think they should be in there or not. What do you think about that? Oh, he's too wicked. Can you imagine he did that? What about so-and-so? Well, if he goes to heaven, I don't want to be there. How many of us have heard that? You want to be there because you know what? All that muck and yuck and all those wicked things, they're not going to be there. And you got them too. You got them too. No man was righteous or worthy. All wicked. Everyone needed the blood. Hallelujah. But this reveals our oneness with Him. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. It says there, we got to go back to verse 20. Too good of stuff here. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. And this is your Jesus, far above all principality, all power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So see, people get worried about, well, what about what happens next? You know, what's going to be then? The same. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what does it say right there? But also in that which is to come. It's going to be Jesus. He's preeminent. Everywhere and all of time. When time shall be no more and whatever that is after that, I don't know. I just know that He loves me. And He's going to take me into the exceeding riches of His grace and His glory because He loves me. And I'm going to be part of this. Hallelujah. We're going to be part of this. And He hath put all things under His feet. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So whether we live it or not, He's still our head. Why not allow Him to be our head? What do you think? You think that there's harmony when I tell this finger not to be put? I always remember when I was a kid, I shouldn't say this on myself, but I had a fascination of taking metal objects and sticking them into light sockets. And then the plugs and stuff. You understand what's wrong with me now. But I used to do that. It's just not a very wise thing. I'm not encouraging young people to do that. Never mind. I don't know what I'm saying here. But in doing that, that's really not a good thing to do. It's probably not obeying what my brain should have been telling it to do is what I'm getting at here. But see, when we're in harmony, right? Probably wouldn't have been better off doing that. I would have left that alone. But you think about what our minds and our bodies do. Now let's talk about what about putting drink in our body? What about drugs and things? And I'm talking about now a little wine's good for the stomach. I understand that. All right? Nothing in excess. Moderation, brothers and sisters. Okay? Are we supposed to have a little bit of bitterness in our life? Where's he going now? Is that as bad as the plug electricity? It's probably worse. What do you think of that? You know, jealousy is crueler than the grave, folks, brothers and sisters. Yeah, it is. What are we putting in there? See, this is where, by the grace of God, that head, the Christ, the head, it's telling our body, by the grace of God, live love. What is the body doing? It's out of sort. It's like people with Parkinson's. It's sad to see, isn't it? When the body's, it can't be controlled. It goes everywhere. It's doing different things. It's a sad thing. Spiritually, when we're not walking with God and walking in the light, that's what our body is. It's worse than that. It is truly worse than that. But again, it's wonderful when we are under Him and we fulfill Him. Do you read that there? I appreciate that. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. That's that 23rd verse there of Ephesians. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. This is. Did you read that again? His body, which is the fullness of Him. We complete Jesus. That's what this says. Do you realize your importance? Do you realize your importance? Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2:7. This is exciting to me. I hope it's exciting to you. I love reading about my heritage. I love reading about my reward. I love reading about my wonderful love that He can give me for Him. For the mystery of iniquity already works here. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. As you'll go into that text, and I don't want to take time, but he that needs to be taken out of the way is the bride of Christ. We're preventing things from happening right now. Do you realize that? It's not going to unfold until he has his bride, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Our hopeful completion is holding up everything. The fullness of times, the fullness of ages does not happen without his body, and in particular, the body of the bride. There is a body that's going to be within the body, and that's the body of the bride. And I was thinking again about my own wedding. No offense to my wife, but you know the bride was the important part of that. Sometimes I wonder if I really showed up, if it would have happened, it still would have gone on, you know. But I'm just teasing. I learned to shut up and get out of the way. So grooms, that's what you do. You kind of show up. And actually, that was really kind of a neat thing. I did just kind of show up. It was in Texas, but that's another story. And that's a really wise thing to do, is just let mother-in-law and wife to be alone many hundred miles away and show up the night before. And that's a good thing. Yeah, I'll stop there. All right. Now his head, he then should be our leader, shouldn't he? Hallelujah. We should have his mind. We should have the vision of him. Everything by the grace of God, even in our natural that we feel or we experience, comes from our head. You think about when you hurt your finger or if it slammed it in a door, it's really not. They say it's not your finger, you really feel it in your head. Did you know that? It's your brain. It's those neurons or whatever those things are. Raymond might be able to tell us or somebody else, but I just understand that it's all kind of coming from here. But spiritually, we can be like that too. But we must allow it. And that's allowing his mind to work in us. Now let's talk about what we can have when his mind works in us. We can have peace in chaos, can't we? Do you believe that? I believe we can have that. Hallelujah. I can have joy when there's sorrowful things going on. Because see, I'm not gonna have sorrow like the world has, because I have hope. I have hope. And my hope is in the Word of God. And my hope obviously is in that day when I will see Him face to face, when my faith will be made whole. But the grace of God, the divine grace of God, allows me to know that all things are working together. They truly are working together. I got to be convinced about this stuff, brothers and sisters. If I'm going to be victorious in Christ, if I'm really going to live victory, I have to be, by His grace, convinced that all things, not some things, not might, but all things work together for good to them that love God, and by His grace I love Him. That's faith. That is faith. And I'm telling you, it's not blind faith, it's light faith, because I'm in there and I'm going forward, and I may not know the outcome in a sense exactly what's going to happen, but I know that God is for me, and I know He's not going to withhold anything good from me, and I know by the grace of God He is the author and He's the finisher of my faith, and I know He does all things well. How could I panic? How could I doubt? What a shame. Fighting the good fight of faith, brothers and sisters. Are we fighting the good fight of faith? This is what He wants to bring us into. This is what He's calling, by the grace of God, each one of us here tonight into, is perfect peace, which truly does pass understanding. I love being there, because there's no way I get it. There's no way I understand it. There's no way that this man, being it this way, having this type of personality, can be doing this. This can't happen. Same with you. Do you understand that? It's against us to be walking worthy of the Lord. It's against you. But who's for you? And who's in you? You have all the abilities. You have the tools. I just appreciate this so much. What a struggle, but yet at the same time, we're victorious in Him. Now, nowhere is this headship so sweetly explained. Then again, we're already in Ephesians. Let's stay there. Chapter 5, verse 23. That's chapter 5, verse 23. And I'm hurrying along here. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. In complete subjection to His word and His will, we will receive by the grace of God the reward of joint heirship, half of the kingdom. See, I love this about with this text here. Yes, it applies to men and women and marriage and, you know, what God has joined, let no man put asunder. Go beyond what God has joined, really. Let Him make you one. Huh? It's like God has joined us to Him. If you're a Christian, you are joined to God. You've been bonded. We are accepted in the Beloved. But I want to be one with Him. I want to move on. I want to move up by the grace of God. This is what He's calling us into. And when we will do this by the grace of God and allow again and let this work come into our life, it's up to half the kingdom. Christ was the first raised from the dead into heaven. His resurrection was sealed and assured, hallelujah, that the church someday will all be with Him at different times. Don't let Him fool you. Don't say, oh, we're all going to be there at the same time. Nope, not that way. Uh-uh. Oh, hallelujah. Enoch and Elijah, they got a head start on people. Why couldn't we? Huh? Amen? Amen. See, this is found in 1 Corinthians 15. He is Alpha. He's Omega. Beginning, end. All power is His. And that was the pleasure of God to bestow that on His Son and Him alone. All authority, all of the Godhead. And we are joined with Christ and have this same authority. We have this same power by the grace of God when we are part of His body. The body will work together. That He came down and He died and He rose. So to give us that wonderful place, it's beyond words, isn't it, brothers and sisters? It's just beyond words. I just so appreciate Him. I appreciate that we can come together on Wednesday nights and talk about our inheritance. I love that. You know, I think about them Rockefellers and all that. You think they get kind of giddy. The kids get together and say, man, look at how rich we are. We never have to work again. We can go out and buy all these cars and yachts and live like bums or, you know, whatever it is. You know what? We're the aristocracy of the ages. We are. I can say that, and there's no doubt. You're an heir of God. You couldn't even compare that to anything. Now, by the grace of God, again, joint heirship. That's what we're here, again, we hope, by His grace, to attain. Not that we've already attained, but hallelujah, to walk worthy, to have that spiritual understanding, to have that knowledge, to have the love of God grow into our life like that. That's exciting stuff. I think we're getting together and getting a little giddy and saying, can you imagine what's going to be? By His grace, that's what's going to be. Hallelujah. We can partake in that. Again, this is the ultimate grace. Beyond redemption. Beyond even being seated together with Him. But even to allow, as we've read here, the fullness, the very fullness of God to work in us. I'd like to go back to Colossians again. And in that first chapter, we'll jump over to that 27th verse, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'm going to tell you, that's the mystery, Christ in me. This is the fullness, complete perfection, as we've been reading a little bit, the hope of His glory, His wife. It's His wife. The last part that I'd like to just share with you, the last thought I should say is, as I was writing this out, you know, naturally speaking, with my wife, I truly, truly, naturally speaking, I'm not complete without my wife. Okay, I'm not supposed to talk about her, but I'm just telling you, naturally speaking, I'm not. Anywhere I go anymore, where's Polly? Actually, I'm sure she could probably say the same thing when she shows up somewhere. Where's Jesse? All right? Now, how much more, hallelujah, spiritually speaking, by His grace to attain to be that wife that will complete Jesus Christ. I hope by the grace of God we've been able to look into that a little bit. You complete Him. We're His body. Truly. The fullness of God. Now to be that rib portion that will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. I believe we're seeing it. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Again, Lord, thank You for supping with us again this evening and feeding us as only You do, Lord. I, again, just so appreciate that Sunday morning how You brought out again. You injure us and You've broken the leg of the lamb, Lord God, and put us around Your shoulders, Jesus. And tonight, I believe that's one of these times that we're so close to You, Lord. You're feeding us. You're watering us. You're just carrying us around, Lord. You're just loving on us all the time. Help us to just be still and to hear that still small voice, to just love the Word of God, to grow up unto You and to know that it's so worthwhile. Not just like I say, oh, the hardships and oh, it's going to be good someday. It's right now. It's right now. Break through this depression that some of us might have, these isolation that we may be feeling, Lord God. We're bonded with You. We're bonded with Jesus Christ because of Your blood. Help us to step into that by Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.